This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of Him who humbled Himself to share our humanity. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. It's nice to say the A word again. On that morning, as we are told just before daybreak, if we look into what the rabbis tell us would have been the meaning of that time frame, it is defined that you can see and discern the face of a person from 6 feet away. And the question is, not only for those faithful disciples, but for us, whom do we see? To what reality do we choose to cling? What reality do we choose to live? You may have seen on the local or national news an incredible story that came out of El Paso, Texas, and Coronado High School. Coronado High School had a great basketball rivalry with Franklin High School. That rivalry turned into resurrection in a recent game. We show you the clip.
Little things.
Coach Peter Morales of the Coronado High School Thunderbirds in El Paso, Texas, makes no qualms about it. He has a favorite on this team.
Mitchell, I need you. I need you to help me out with my coaching tips, Mitchell.
Team manager Mitchell Marcus has a developmental disability.
1, 2, 3.
But he far surpasses everyone here when it comes to love of the game.
He's just an amazing person that our basketball team loves being around.
Yay!
Mitchell's mom, Amy, says he's always been that way.
Mitchell always had a basketball. That was always what he wanted for his birthday.
And because basketball is that important to him, on the last game of the regular season, the coach told Mitchell to suit up.
What was it like to put on the uniform?
I was very happy.
I imagine you were.
Just wearing a jersey was enough for Mitchell. But what he didn't know, what no one knew at the time, was that the coach planned to play him at the end, no matter what the score.
You were prepared to lose that game?
For his moment, yes. For his moment in time, yes.
And so, with a minute and a half left, Coronado leading, but only by 10, Coach Morales put in his manager.
And just started hearing Mitchell, Mitchell.
But here's where the fairy tale fell apart. Although his teammates did everything they could to get Mitchell a basket, each time they passed him the ball, he either missed the shot or, like on their last possession, booted it out of bounds, turning the ball over to the other team with just seconds left.
He wasn't going to be able to score. But I was hoping that he was happy that he was just put in the game.
Could you have ever imagined what happened next?
No, I did. I could not. Not at all.
What happened next happened on the inbound. The guy with the ball there is a senior at Franklin High School, number 22, Jonathan Montañez.
I was raised to treat others how you want to be treated. Just thought Mitchell deserved his chance, deserved his opportunity.
I think I'll cry about it for the rest of my life.
What Jonathan did was yell out Mitchell's name, then threw the ball right to him, right there. One of the most memorable turnovers of all time. It wasn't the game-winning shot. When the buzzer sounded, Coronado had 15 more points than Franklin. But Jonathan's assist and Mitchell's basket did change the outcome decidedly. Play any game with this much sportsmanship. Both teams win. Steve Hartman on the road in El Paso, Texas.
And the real reason we wanted to show that again was to tell you that after seeing...
Seeing Steve's story the first time we aired it, the chancellor of Texas Tech called Jonathan Montañez and offered him a scholarship.
The story isn't as much about Mitchell Marcus scoring a basket. It's more about Coach Morales and a decision he had made before the game started. It's even more about Jonathan Montañez making a decision with little time left. His team was going to lose the game, but he found a way that everyone could win. There isn't much time left on the clock. What reality do we choose to see and create? What opportunity for life do we seek? The stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Yet in our own lives, there are so many times when the stone has been rolled away, yet we would prefer to push God back into the tomb and close it up. But you can't roll back the stone. The entrance to a Jewish tomb, usually 4 to 6 feet in diameter, a foot thick. They tell us that they weighed between 1 and 2 tons. It would take the strength of 2, maybe more, full-grown men to push it back after it had been opened, because you would have to push it uphill. The stone had been removed. To close the tomb would mean for us that God would be in control. You know, all three synoptic gospel writers, when they speak of Jesus' passion and death, talk about the curtain of the temple being torn from top to bottom in two. The same Greek words are used in all three Gospels talking about the tearing of that curtain. The curtain is called the veil as well, separating the entrance to the Holy of Holies from the people. When the temple veil tears, one can assume then that the mystery of God has been contaminated by the world. But maybe more correctly, the world has become infected with God. The separation and division are violated. There are no more compartments for God, no boundaries. The walls come down, and the membrane between God and the world, between the divine and the ordinary, is compromised. Oddly enough, that same Greek word was used at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was baptized. We are told that the heavens were torn open. The Spirit of God descended into the world, breaking loose from heaven. The God who dwells above now comes below, crosses the boundary. At the start, God descends through the open tear and escapes heaven. We can't put God in a box anymore. Is it not possible, when Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about this veil being torn, he is talking and reminding us about breaking down the barriers we construct in our lives? Is not all of what Jesus does and says throughout his life affirming that God is everywhere, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? God is on the loose, no longer hostage to our boxes where we think God should remain. What a cost for this. We are prey to God 24/7. We cannot hide. We deceive ourselves if we want to live dual schizophrenic lives, one with God and one without God. The promise of the good news of resurrection that we celebrate today is that the mystery of God waits and abides, lingers and loiters, tarries and stays until the joy or sadness of our days tear or rent or open us up to be touchable, vulnerable, available to God. The story reminds us that becoming available to more of God and life and resurrection requires going into and out of the tomb, not closing it up. Entering into the dark, difficult places of our lives, times when people we depend on and need die or leave or abandon us, and we think we cannot go on, but we do. Times when dreams and hopes fade, when all we counted for in our families and relationships and careers doesn't happen. Times when health breaks and age begins to define us. Times when those illusions we have about ourselves come unraveled. But Easter reminds us that God is still there. That out of such apparent death, life comes. We know Jesus' tomb is empty. We don't need to put him back in because we can't. You may have heard the story of two men in a hospital room. One by the window has sight the man in the other bed cannot see. The story, which relates to this theme of creating our reality as God would have it, is captured well in this short film.
So what is he doing now?
He's down on one knee, handing her flowers.
She doesn't want flowers. She wants a ring.
That's what he's afraid of. Now, wait a minute. She just threw all the flowers on the ground and stormed off.
She wants a ring.
He's going after her. Forget it, kid. She's gone.
Hey, you know, if it wasn't for you telling me what's going on in that park, I don't know what I'd do.
I enjoy it.
You made me realize that there's plenty to enjoy without having to see it. Thanks.
Forget about it. Eat your lunch. Guess who's sitting on the bench holding the flowers?
You're kidding.
I kid you not.
Well, what's he doing?
He's standing up. She's back. She's
what?
She's taking the flowers. And
and what?
And she's giving him a big kiss. Oh, he's back down on one knee again.
Uh-oh.
But this time, he's got something else.
A ring?
Yep. You got it.
Way to go, kid.
Murray, are you ready?
Am I ready? Who can ever be ready for something like this?
I know, but it is time.
Well, if it's time, then it's time.
Good luck, my friend. Only one tray?
He didn't make it.
Nurse, will you do me a favor, please? Would you take a look down at that park and tell me what you see?
Mr. Johnson, there's nothing outside this window but a brick wall.
What reality do you choose to see? Easter calls us and enables us not to see a brick wall, not to see a stone covering a tomb, but an open tomb and a living, risen Lord who gives us hope, the opportunity for us to creatively look to every moment to see this God at work in all things, at all times, in all people, bringing life out of death, enabling us not only to see it, but to help others to perceive it. And when we do, all we can say is wow. Amen.